start by showing you a photo of my granny. That's actually, that's me on the bottom right, and that's my granny in the middle there. She was born in 1900. She would have been 119 last month if she was still alive. I show you her photo because she's my closest relative to have died. I mean, all my grandparents are dead, but she was the one that I knew best and I was closest to. I know lots of you have had parents who've died, but mine are still alive. Lots of us have had siblings who've died. Lots of us have had friends who've died. But in my journey, I've been relatively untouched. And so when I think of death, I think of Granny. She died quietly at home of old age. My mother was with her. My father was visiting us at the time, and Mum rang and told us. People die. That's what happens. They get old, they die, they get sick, they die. And then we forget them. Today, our focus is on a man who died young, 33. And I want to draw your attention to four things about his death, four significant things, four remarkable things. And I want to focus on one verse. We'll put it up on the screen. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We as a church have been working through 1 Peter, and we're up to this verse. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And I just want to make four points about the death of Jesus, four remarkable things. The purpose, the power, the generosity, and the effect of the death of Jesus. First thing, Christ died for sins. Purpose. My granny died because she was old. My friend, my workmate Cameron, he died riding his motorbike out to where we worked at the radio station at Seven Hills. And his motorbike at 4 o'clock in the morning skidded and went under a semi-trailer. And he was crushed to death. But it was an accident, his death. But Jesus' death wasn't an accident. He died for a reason. He died for sins. Now, what sins? We could list out a series of things. Let me list it out the way, let me try it this way, the way Jesus does. This is Jesus speaking. It's from Mark chapter 7. We'll put it up on the screen. Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, from within, out of men's hearts, we got Mark chapter 7, verse 21, from within, out of men's hearts, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evils come from within and defile a person. I did it. I thought it through. I did a little checklist on me. I mean, I'll do it on me, you do it on you. Just on this list. Ever had an evil thought? I have. Ever done anything sexually immoral? I have. Ever stolen anything? I have. Ever murdered anyone? No. I'll come back to that. Adultery? No. I'll come back to that one too. Greed? Yeah, I've done that. Evil actions? I've done that. Deceit? I've done that. Self-indulgence? I've done that. Envy? I've done that. Slander. I've done that. Pride. I've done that. Foolishness. I've done that. On Jesus' list of 13 things, I got 11 out of 13. And I've thought of doing the other ones. In that, well, why haven't I done them? I mean, it's not that I'm inherently good on those issues. When I read the paper, there's nothing I've read in the paper that anyone has done that I haven't thought of doing. My heart is desperately wicked. I mean, I was in the Apple shop. There's an iPad. It wasn't tethered to anything. And I'm just standing in the Apple shop, and I thought, can I make a run for it? I thought, it's the Apple shop. There's security cameras everywhere. I'm the minister of the church. What am I thinking? Why am I like this? They're just symptoms of me rejecting God. I'm saying to God, I mean, when I look through that list and I see me, I think, what's going on in my life? I'm saying, God, get lost. Leave me alone. I want to do my own thing. I want to live my own way. I mean, if they're the symptoms, there's actually a root issue. I remember with my mother. My mother used to teach at a school, and the school organised a bus trip from Darwin down to Perth, and me and my three sisters, we went on that trip. And it's a long time ago. It was before I was married, probably before I was Christian. And it was a 10-day trip, and in the middle of it, I had this big row with my mother. And as a result, I didn't speak to her for the rest of the trip. There's only 30 of us on the trip. And I completely cut her off. Completely ignored her. Completely rejected her. Now, that was actually awful if you're on a bus in the middle of the West Australian desert. There's nowhere to go. You've got to stay there, and the tension would increase, and she would try and speak to me, and I would ignore her. I gave her the total silent treat. For some of us, that's what we've done with God. We've cut him off. We've ignored him. And it hasn't been days like it was with me and Mum. It's been years that we've been rebelled. Years that we've given God the silent treatment. And here's the thing. God lets us. God allows us. But there is a judgment eventually. There is an accountability eventually. We can't defy God and ignore his directives and treat him like rubbish and there be no accountability. Parents, you know this. If you don't hold kids accountable, they do it again. And they do it again. And they do it again and again. But if you love them, you'll hold them accountable. God loves us. God holds us accountable. But if I've spent my life rejecting him, doing my own thing, we get to the end of life, death. And either God's going to hold me accountable or he's a wuss. Well, he's not a wuss. Either God's going to be holding me accountable or he's pathetic. Well, he's not pathetic. Either God's going to hold me accountable or he's a pushover. He's not a pushover. Either God's going to hold me accountable or he'll be mocked. He won't be mocked. In fairness and justice and love, God holds me accountable. And when he looks at my life and he sees that, well, Dominic, you got 11 out of 13, but your heart's been far from me, and what you deserve is, four-letter word, hell. What you deserve, Dominic, is eternity without God. It's suffering, it's punishment, it's judgment, it's abandonment, it's awful. And here's the thing, Christ died. Give us that verse again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ died for sins. There was a reason Christ died. He took the punishment for me. He paid it for me. I used to know this guy, Paul White. He told a story of getting a parking fine. He had a friend who worked in the police traffic fine department. It was before police traffic fines were done by computers, and this friend was processing the traffic fines, and Paul got this traffic fine, and Paul told the story of his friend coming across the parking fine, coming across Paul's fine, and the friend wrote a note to Paul with the fine enclosed, and he sent him the fine in the mail with this letter, Paul, because of justice, I couldn't cancel this fine, but because of love, I paid it for you. See, for justice to be done, the policeman couldn't be corrupt and ignore the offence. This is what happens with God. Because God is just, he can't ignore what we've done wrong. It was wrong. But because of love, God sends his son Jesus to deal with it, to pay for it. God deals with us by sending Jesus to die. Christ died for sins, like Paul's friend pays for the parking fine. That's why Christians call it today Good Friday, because it's the best day. Before I became a Christian, I thought it was stupid that Christians would call today Good Friday. I mean, wasn't it a bad day? I mean, the day their boss guy died? It was an awful day for him, but it's good for me. I get to go to heaven because Jesus died for a purpose. Second one, Christ died for sins once for all. First, the purpose of the death of Jesus, now the power of the death of Jesus, once for all. I hate cleaning, and Kathy's not much good at it either. There you are. It's out there. We're a messy couple. It's weird, actually. Our daughter has rebelled against us by being tidy. What I hate about cleaning is you have to do it again. And again. And again. And again. It just never stays clean. I wouldn't mind cleaning if you could do it once. And it was just all done forever. Vacuuming is a pain in the neck. I hate dishwashing. Wouldn't it be great if it could be cleaned once for all? Christ died for sins once for all. In the old days, the Jewish system before Jesus, they had a method of dealing with sin. What they used to do with dealing with sin then is they'd get an animal, pure, clean, unblemished animal, they'd pray over it, like a sheep or a goat or something, they'd lay their hands on it, and they kind of transfer their sins to the animal, and then they'd send the sheep off to be killed. The animal would pay for the sins of the person. The animal was sacrificed to pay for sins, but it didn't work. It was like cleaning our house, really. You had to do it again next week. And the week after, and the week after, because there kept being more sins. They kept offending God. As a permanent system for keeping the house clean vacuuming fails. As a permanent system for dealing with sin, the animal sacrifice system of the Old Testament fails. This is why the death of Jesus is so significant. Purpose of the death of Jesus? Christ died for sins. The power of the death of Jesus, once for all. Jesus' death was once for all. It happened once. It dealt with all sin of all time. There was a payment that needed to be made. It never needs to be repeated. If you like, the sin of the world had been accumulating up to the time of the death of Jesus, like an offense on a credit card. And in the death of Jesus, he pays off all the wrong that people of all time had ever done. And puts an infinite amount on the debit card. And now you and I, in the thousands of years since Jesus, have been drawing back on that payment. Christ died for sins. Purpose. Once for all. Power. Just think about it for a minute. How have you been dealing with your sin? Because you've got them. I don't think I'm the only person in this room who scored 11 out of 13. How are you dealing with your sin? What are you doing about the wrong things that you're doing? Well, you could say, doesn't really matter. You could say, everyone's doing it, not that bad. You could say, it didn't really hurt anyone. You could push it away and just say, I'll try and forget about it. What does Jesus do with our sin? He says it was wrong. It was wrong and it mattered. And he's paid for it. You and I can go to heaven because of the purposeful Christ died for sins, powerful, once for all, death of Jesus. Next one, Jesus' death is generous. You know, this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, I think it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. I find myself in a coffee shop reading it with people. And when we're sitting in a coffee shop and I'm reading it with somebody, and I often get them to read it out to me. I say, read it out to me. And they say, Christ died for sins once for all, for the righteous and the unrighteous. I say, is that really what it said? Yeah, Christ died once for all for the righteous and the unrighteous. I say, no, look at it. For the unrighteous? No, the righteous for the unrighteous. Who's the righteous? Jesus. Who's the unrighteous? Us. Jesus, the righteous one, dies for the unrighteous ones, us. That's generosity. A moment ago, I gave the illustration of this Paul White friend, police department paying for his parking fine. And really, actually, for most of us, it's not a huge deal, a parking fine. I mean, you get a parking fine, I get a parking fine. It's a pain, but I can manage it. I can afford it. In Western Australia, there's a thing, a GoFundMe project. Because in Western Australia, they've got a thing where if you don't pay the fine, let me read it to you. Western Australia has laws where people who have no criminal convictions are imprisoned if they do not have the capacity to pay a fine. People are languishing in prison for not being able to pay their fines. Who are the people languishing in prison because they can't afford to pay their fines? Single Aboriginal mothers make up the majority of those in prison who do not have the capacity to pay fines. They're living in absolute poverty. They cannot afford food and shelter for their children, let alone pay a fine. They will never have the financial capacity to be able to pay the fine. And the GoFundMe project has started to pay their fines. See how much more significant this is than Paul White's friend? Debbie Kilroy wrote, "I've spoken to Aboriginal mothers who've had their fines paid in full. I told them they can't be arrested. They cheered and screamed and cried. They're overwhelmed at the donors' generosity. One even asked me, 'What's the catch?' To which Debbie replied, 'No catch. You're free.' They couldn't afford it. Now, free. You and I cannot afford it before God in heaven. And I actually suspect for many of us here in the inner west, in Annandale, that's very hard to understand. Because here in the inner west in Annandale, we are self-made people. We are high achievers. We have homes in the inner west. We have good jobs. We take responsibility. We own things. We're not dependent. We don't relate to the idea of not being able to afford it, because I can afford it, not this one. Your offence before God is so serious, is so significant. You and I are so much in the wrong that you cannot afford it." I used to hate that about the death of Jesus, because I didn't like admitting I couldn't pay for it myself, because I'm proud. But that is what this verse says. Christ died for sins, purpose. Once for all, power. The righteous for the unrighteous, generosity. Jesus the righteous one, Jesus the perfect one, Jesus the good one, you and me the unrighteous. For God so loved Karen. For God so loved Angela. For God so loved Evan. For God so loved Bronte. For God so loved Michelle. Why was God so generous? Because he loves you. Purposeful, powerful, generous. Fourth one, effective. Saving, complete. To bring you to God. Now, what is meant by that? Just going to do something to engage everybody. We had this moment in church a few weeks ago, and John was up here speaking, and he did this amazing, I thought it was amazing. He had his iPad on the desk here, and cleverly, technologically, he managed to draw pictures on his iPad, and it came up on the screen. And I was just thinking, wow, new generation, they're amazing. How do they do this? That's just fantastic. Anyway, I thought I'd try and do a visual illustration just like John did a couple of weeks ago. So I've got my iPad here, and Solomon, do you want to bring it over here? Sol, if you could, that'd be great. And I'm going to ask if I can put it up on the screen, and I've got my, it's technologically through the camera over there, and they're going to put it up on the screen. It should come up in a moment. Anyway, This is visual illustration, gets you all engaged. I'm just like John. Ah, there we are. Except it needs to point at that, not me. Good. Okay. So, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. I want you to think of it like this. I'm here. You're here. God is here. And sin separates us. I need to be brought to God. But of course, what I try to do is try to get there myself. I try to think of things to do, like going to church, giving money, supporting foreign aid, helping people. But you know what? It's never enough. Because I got 11 out of 13 and I thought of doing the other two. My heart is wicked. I can't do it on my own. Now, what happens though is this verse says Christ died. I'm here. Sin separates me from God. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. It's effective. Purposeful, powerful, generous, effective death of Jesus. Now, let me just note a little place where people get this wrong. And the big area where people get this wrong is in the Roman Catholic Church. And I'll just show you how people think there. Because I used to think this way. Used to think, I don't know where. You put the camera down a little if you can. Can I go down to here? Maybe I can. This is, oh, brilliant. See, that's better than you, John. I'm here. God's here. And people think the death of Christ, wrongly, gets me to here. And so they say Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. But then they think, I've just got to do a little bit extra myself. And they put in here, I've got to do stuff. I've got to go to church, I've got to give money, I've got to help little old ladies across the street, all that kind of thing. Serve the homeless, stuff like that. But they never can be sure that they've done enough. And have I been good enough? But I just want to say, that's the wrong way to think. Of course you haven't been good enough. You can't possibly be good enough. But that's not the issue, because Jesus has done it for you. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The death of Jesus is purposeful, powerful, generous, and saving. So if you've accepted the death of Jesus for you, you are saved. You are secure. You are confident of your standing before God. I never doubt that I'm married. It happened. 24th of April, 1993, I stood up. There's a pretty girl there. I said to her, I, Dominic, take you, Catherine, to be my wife, to have and to hold, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. And this is my solemn vow and promise. And she said something similar back, and we were married. It's happened. I'm secure. I'm there. Same thing with Jesus. When I grasp the significance of his death, when I grasp the significance of the purpose, the power, the generosity, and the saving effect of Jesus' death, I never doubt that I'm saved. I am saved. I am secure. I am confident. So what is the place for good works? Well, because I'm married, I get on with loving Kathy. Because I'm saved, I get on with loving God. Because I'm secure in this relationship, I get on with honouring him. Let me finish by saying, in Brisbane, a little while back, two little girls died in a drunk driver car accident. Drunk driver swerved, hit the car, ran over them, crashed into a telegraph pole, killed two little girls. I remember I was working in the newsroom, and this was the shocking bit. The driver was sentenced to just 2 years in jail for manslaughter. It was outrageous, scandalous. I mean, and that's why we put it on the news, actually, that Australia's court system, the Queensland court system, was so hopeless that this drunk driver who killed two little girls got released after just 2 years. I was trying to play it out in my head, the guilty feelings the driver would have had. And imagine with me, imagine that man getting out of jail, ringing up the father of those two little girls. Just put yourself in his shoes for a moment, the father's shoes. This guy rings up. Look, mate, I'm sorry about what happened. Could we just meet up, have a drink, talk things over, put the past behind us, get on with life? What would you have said if they were your daughters? If somebody rang with that kind of request? Oh, I played it out in my mind. You might take a deep breath, collect your thoughts, and say, no, no. The only place where I might talk to you is on the road, the place where you killed my daughters. I'll show you the skid marks on the road. We'll look at the telegraph pole. I'll tell you about what you've cost me and my wife. I'll tell you about the impact on my family. I'll tell you about how I miss my daughters. What a mongrel that drunk was, to want to sweep what he's done under the carpet. You can't say what you've done doesn't matter. Let's just pretend it didn't happen. Put it behind us, forget it. See, that guy in his phone call wants forgiveness without justice. But tragically, that is what you and I do with God. We come to God, say, look, mate, I'm sorry about that 11 out of 13. Could we just have a drink, talk things over, put the past behind us, get on with the future, moving forward? And God says, no, no, no. The only place where I will meet you is at the foot of the cross, where because of you, my son Jesus died. Jesus' death on the cross was for a purpose. Christ died for sins. Jesus' death on the cross was powerful. It pays for sin once for all. Jesus' death on the cross was generous, the righteous for the unrighteous. And Jesus' death on the cross was effective, saving. It brings you to God. The father of the little girls couldn't sweep that under the carpet and forget it. God can't sweep our rebellion under the carpet and forget it. There's got to be justice. Someone's got to take the punishment. And because God loves us, because God so loved Mandy, because God so loved Joy, because God so loved Martin, because God so loved Rob, Jesus dies for us. My friend who died, a motorbike slid under the semi-trailer. I never got to tell him. He never accepted the death of Jesus. And the only way that you can get to heaven is at the foot of the cross where Jesus died. I remember going to his funeral and the minister lied. The minister lied when he said, "My friend was dancing with God in heaven at the moment." I mean, of course, Cameron may have had a last-minute turnaround that I didn't know about, might have accepted the death of Jesus. But if he didn't, then everything that I believe, everything that I've taught about Jesus, the Bible, God, heaven, hell, everything points to the opposite conclusion. There's only one way to God, just one way to heaven. And it's the purposeful, powerful, generous, saving death of Jesus. So what about you? Let me make it personal for you. Where are you this Easter morning? I'm just going to put it out there. The course that we attempted to advertise with the video earlier, it's Tuesday night in a fortnight's time. That's actually relaxed dinner discussion, working out these issues over 6-7 weeks. And I'm going to encourage you actually to come to that course, to actually, in a sec, can everybody just take out the card that's on there? I just want everyone to do this so no one feels uncomfortable. And if you're standing around the edges, I'm going to ask the ushers to get you a card. Or if you're on the sound desk or in the breakout corridor, I'm going to ask the ushers to get you a card. But if everyone could take out a card, and if you haven't got a pen, in Christian love, you can nudge the person next to you, or we'll get pens to you too. Pop up a hand, somebody will do that. But you can say, "I'd like to come on that course, Dominic." I mean, I'm going to ask everyone to fill it in just so no one feels uncomfortable. But it's not that everyone has to come. If you don't want to come on the course, don't write it. But if everyone could write some comment, that would be good. But if you know that you're not right with God at the moment, then I want to recommend beginning to fix it. And if you think, "Oh, Tuesday night, there's nothing more important than this. Whatever you've got on Tuesday night is not as important as this. Fixing it with God is the most important thing. Change whatever it is so that you can get engaged." Now, we'll take questions and comments in a minute while you're filling that card out. But there'd be some people here, I think, and say, yeah, Dominic, you know, that's a jolt. You've put things clearly today. You've spelled it out, given me a jolt, actually. And you've given me the jolt that I've needed to hear. And, I mean, I can go and do that course, and I will go and do that course, but I want to fix it with God now. I want to fix it. I want to come back into relationship with God now. How would you do that? What would you say? How would you begin the conversation? You don't want to be the drunk driver guy ringing up. What's the words to say? I've written them on this. Open the handout sheet. The far right-hand thing, I wrote a prayer. Trying to sum up the ideas of what I've been talking about. I'll just read it out and you can see if it's you. "Dear God, I'm sorry I've rejected you and ignored you." That's true. "I recognize you'll hold me accountable and there's a punishment I deserve." That's true. "Thanks that Jesus' death was for my sins. Thanks that Jesus' death was so generous. Thanks that Jesus' death saves me. Now that I'm secure, help me to live honoring Jesus as my Lord." Now, I'll pray that through in a moment, and if you want to pray it through with me, I'll invite you to. But I might just take a question or a comment first, if anybody wants to ask a question or make a comment about anything that I've said. Yeah. Grant.
Good.
Sure. So question from Grant is, just in terms of what I've said this morning, the narrative that I've painted, which is the biblical narrative, is different to the Sydney Morning Herald narrative. And the picture, if you like, that you're getting is that people are good. Well, Pascal said humans are the glory and the garbage of the universe. And so it is true, you and I, created by God in his image, are able to do amazing things, phenomenal things. We can make iPhones. That's technologically amazing. Do you know, there's all sorts of things we can do. We can do amazing, amazing, amazing things. But my heart has the potential for wickedness that is scary. I am the glory and the garbage of the universe. And if I say that to you, you know in your bones that's true. You might decide, if you're actually prepared to be vulnerable with me and sit and be honest with me, I am brilliant, but I am so wicked. I'm scandalously wicked. Yeah. So that's all I've got. I mean, that statement that God makes about you in the scriptures actually rings true with your character. And I've been going around for years saying that. And when I've said that to somebody privately in person, I don't think I've had anybody who said, no, I'm consistently perfect. I never tell a lie. They tell me the first one in the coffee shop right then. Yeah. No. Thanks. Going. Gone. I'm going to pray. And if you want to fix things with God now, then I'm just going to pray each sentence of this is a line. You grab that line and in your own heart say it to God. Dear God, I'm sorry I've rejected you and ignored you. I recognize that you will hold me accountable and that there's a punishment I deserve. Thanks that Jesus' death was for my sins. Thanks that Jesus' death was so generous. Thanks that Jesus' death saves me. Now that I'm secure, help me to live honoring Jesus as my Lord. Amen.